Because both of us can't steer this. And I don't trust my steering. Amen. Because if I know, if I do not stay in my lane, I'm going to end in a wreck. And that's naturally and spiritually so. So God, I cannot try to do what only God can. Only thing we can do is we try to create this atmosphere that the Holy Ghost will have his way. Now, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, if you don't want to take advantage of it, that's on you. But don't come to anybody's church and say, I didn't get anything today. Amen? Because what did you bring? Did you bring a praise? Did you bring worship in the house with you? What kind of aroma did you bring into the house of the Lord today? What kind of aroma are you giving when you leave the house of the Lord? Do people look at you and say, wait a minute, there's something different about that person. I can smell something different on that person. We want the Holy Ghost. We want you to have a Holy Ghost encounter every day. Every day. It's available. I mean, the Lord says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So if you're in church, you want to take your shoes off, take your shoes off. Don't nobody care. If you want to run around the church, run around the church, because only you know what God has done for you. Ain't nobody going to tell you to sit down. We want you to come in here. We want you to praise God because God is worthy of the praise. You know what he's brought you through this week. I can't praise God for you. I can praise God for what he's done for me. And I do. I thank God. And I was sitting over there and I saw a mail truck outside before service began. And I was looking at it and I was like, God, only you has been the one to sustain us. Only you, God, when people was questioning if the church was going to shut its doors, it wasn't even an option. It wasn't even an option. Because we know that the Holy Ghost is in this place and we want the Holy Ghost to have free reign. And God, this is your church to do however you want to do. We're just going to move out of God's way so he can have free reign. Amen. Amen. Giving God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that he is worthy of. If we stayed up all night, we couldn't give God all that's due him. So that when we do have the opportunity, we do need to bring in our best praise. We do need to bring in our best worship. Amen. And if Jesus is in the temple teaching at 12 years old, children, you're not too young to praise God. You've been in school for 3 weeks now, and you know the things that God has kept you from, that we've been praying on your behalf, that he has kept you with the tests that you've already started taking and quizzes and projects. Amen. It's because of the goodness of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're still in Revelation chapter 3. God gave me that. And it's like, okay, Lord, we've got to go through these three churches because God has been speaking and he's yet speaking. And the Holy Ghost is saying, pay attention. Pay attention. Be awake. We've been asleep too long. Things have been happening all around us. Praise God. Sister Rose has been leading our women's prayer line. Praise the Lord. Let's give her a hand. Praise. Praise God. Amen. Been on the wall. Praise the Lord. Amen. And sometimes she'll ask if we have any prayer requests, and sometimes it's so silent. Sometimes it's so silent. But we always have a prayer request. We always have a prayer request. If it's not for you, it's for someone else. You've seen something in the news. We need to lift that up in prayer. It says if one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. Amen. So there's power in unity. There is power when we pray together. So I am calling forth all prayer warriors. The first Friday of the month is our prayer time. Amen. Sometimes there's only three of us in here, three or four. Amen. I know there's those that work. I totally understand that. But for those that can, we come out at 6 o'clock the first Friday of every month. And we send up our petitions to heaven. We come in here with praise. We come in here with worship first. We don't come here first asking God to do anything. We want to come and bring him our praise and our worship that night. And we're done. It's an hour. All I'm asking for is 1 hour. Jesus said, couldn't you not tarry with me? He asked his disciples that for 1 hour. And the thing about it is that we're not asking for every Friday, just the first Friday of the month. At 6 o'clock, I want to see all the prayer warriors here. And those that are at work, you can be praying even while you're working. Amen. But to come into that spirit of unity and agreement and believe God to tear these walls down. We say we want to see a great move of the Holy Spirit, but it starts in the church. And the Lord says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal the land. Who needs their land healed today? Who needs their land healed today? So the first thing we have to admit, God, I need your help. So I come before you in a spirit of humility, recognizing our need for him. Because sometimes we do. We get caught up in pride. We don't want to share our prayer requests because it's a little bit of pride there. You know, I don't want anybody to know that I'm going through something. I don't want anybody to know that this is what's going on in my life right now. But you know that you need prayer. You know that you need God to move in a particular situation. But if you don't say it, how do we know? And yes, the Lord says, yeah, I can tell the Holy Ghost to give you everything. But we come together. That's just like the word of God says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. It requires action on our part. So we come together in prayer. Amen. We come together saying, yes, I'm standing in the gap for this person in my life. I'm standing in the gap for this situation. God, I'm standing the gap for myself because the doubts and the worry and the fear have been trying to haunt me. Amen? But being open with God, because God says, I already know what you have need of, but I want to know, do you trust me enough to share it with me? Do you trust it enough to share it with me? Amen? And even on the prayer line, when we share a prayer request, it's on the prayer line. And when the prayer line is, you keep lifting it up in prayer, but it's not a topic for conversation. It's about prayer. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about the Church of Philadelphia today. And so as I said earlier, the Philadelphia means brotherly love. Philadelphia was a prosperous city located about 28 miles southeast of Sardis. And remember, the Church of Sardis looked good. That's why you cannot be because things can look good and not be good. So the Church of Sardis looked good. They had the programs going on. They had the money flowing in. But the Lord says that you are not faithful to me, that you're not being obedient to me, that you've forgotten what I've called you to do. Amen? So now he's speaking to the Church of Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia church was, the city was built with a deliberate intention that it might become a missionary city, because where it was situated, it was a highway connecting the east to the west. Amen? But God called the Church of Philadelphia to be a missionary church who modeled to the community the love of God in such a way that others would be drawn to believe the gospel and turn their lives over to following God. What is the church modeling today? What is the church modeling today? Are we still modeling the love of God? Are we still preaching about the Holy Spirit? Or are we trying to promote our program? Amen? And it's nothing wrong with fundraisers, because we know we want to move from this building into another place. Praise God. But in the meantime, while God has us here, God says, occupy till I come. Occupy until change comes. Occupy until that answer comes. So we should not stop praising God. And so he's speaking to Philadelphia church. And when Jesus spoke to them, he says that he is the one true God. Amen. that he is honest and true. And that's what we're supposed to be modeling. But how much deception is going on in the body of Christ today? People are putting forth their agendas, what they want to do, instead of being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us in every area of our lives. Amen? So let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. I'm putting my new Bible to the test and see if I can read it without my glasses. So far, so good. Praise the Lord. They got me a giant print Bible for my birthday. Amen. So I was so excited about that because my glasses, I look up and I look, you know, down, and it's like the vision is like, then it looks all distorted, and it's like, Jesus, help me. Amen. But now I have a giant print Bible that I can see. Praise be to God. And my version that I like, Living Translation. Amen. So glory to God. It says, the message to the church in Philadelphia. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. And the Lord is saying, I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. And that's what he's speaking to us today. That he set before us an open door. He set before us an open door. Now, will you have the faith to walk through it? And he's telling the church, he says, you have little strength, because we recognize that the strength that we have, it comes, we are totally reliant and depending on the Lord. That's it. We can't depend on people. God, our total reliance is on you. Amen? And so the Lord is saying that he is one, the one that is true and holy in every sense of the word. Because we try to say that we're holy, but then let us get caught out there in traffic and see what our holiness looks like. Amen? Because our flesh will rise up and you see a totally different person. Amen. But the Lord says that I am the one that's true and holy. And he's calling the church of Philadelphia. He says, you're supposed to model me. Are we modeling Christ today? Can people look at you outside of these four walls, outside of services? Can they look at you and see God? Are you letting your light shine before men that they may see your good works? What works are you putting forth today? Amen? If God is looking at us right now, so I don't know, but I would wonder if there was bubbles over our heads, what would our bubble be saying right now? What would our bubble be saying? I need a nap. I'm ready to eat. Let the service be done. Amen? But God is saying, listen, I see you. And the Church of Philadelphia was the only church that he did not correct. And that's a church we want to be. Amen? But in order to do that, we've got to be faithful. We've got to be a praying church. We've got to be a praying church. We've got to know how to press into God like never before. Press beyond what our feelings are telling us. Amen. Press beyond that and say, God, I want more of your presence. God, I want a fresh and filling of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just want you to have your way. I want this flesh to die. Because our flesh will tell us things that we need that we don't need. Amen. But he's speaking to the Church of Philadelphia, and he's saying, I've set before you an open door. Even business ventures. Those that have been wanting to start their own business, God is saying, he will withhold no good thing to those walk uprightly before me. And if you've been walking uprightly before the Lord, God is saying, I have set before you an open door. Now, will you walk through it? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zones and to serve God with all of your being, with your heart, your soul, and your mind? Amen? And it's something that, you know, I'm like, Lord, just have your way, because, you know, guys, I can write some notes, and I'll write stuff down. And it's like, Lord, but I want you to feed your sheep. Amen? And we've got to stop trying to mix in with the world and do things the way the world does it and still expect the blessings of God. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You know, we're back in the book of Joshua, the Lord says to teach these to your children. Day and night, when you sit down with them. Men, what are you teaching your children? Are you being the shepherds in your home? Amen? And this is September. We know that Halloween is next week, and I'm probably going to step on some toes right now. But praise be to God. Amen? Because we need to teach, we're trying to teach our children what's right. Amen? We're trying to teach our children what's right. Amen? And it's time for us to stop offering alternatives to the Word of God. What does God say that we're to do? Amen? What is God telling us to do? He says to be ye separate, to come out from among them, and to be holy. Amen? So, and I will be the first one to admit that in prior years, we have been in ignorance. We felt as though we had to give our children an alternative to Halloween. Not this year. Not this year. Because we have to, we're making this stance. Amen. Jesus was speaking to this church of Philadelphia. I've set before you an open. He's like, I'm leading you into the light. You can't be entangled with darkness. Amen. So Wednesday, October the 31st, is Halloween. We will be having our worship and our prayer and our Bible study to all who want to come out. But we will not be giving out candy. Because we say that we have to do this, but what are we teaching our children? What are we teaching them? That we have to have an alternative to what the world offers. But their life is wrapped in Christ. That's what we're trying to show them, that their life is wrapped in Christ. And yes, at Christmas we give gifts, but we tell what? The greatest gift that we received was the gift of Jesus Christ. That's the gift that we have received from the Lord. It's the gift of Jesus. Amen? So we have these hallelujahs and fall festivals, and it's our way of trying to straddle the fence. And God is saying, listen, you either need to be hot or cold. He says, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Amen? We have youth nights for our youth. We have family fun nights that our youth can take part of. So why do we make emphasis on these things? Because we're supposed to be teaching them what's right. That we want according to the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says that we are royal priesthood, that we are kings and priests. And our children may not be there yet, but we're trying to model this for them. Amen. We're trying to model this for them. So I'm going to boldly say, we as the people of God, there are some things that we should not be carrying this anointing to. We should not. We need to look at these activities that we're getting involved in and say, Lord, is this where you would have me to carry the Holy Spirit? Because wherever you go, he's there with you. Now, if you're comfortable with taking them to, you know, all kinds of rated R movies, Disney has this hollow screen. Universal has their Halloween horror nights. If you're comfortable in taking the Holy Spirit into those places, that's between you and God. But as a servant of the Lord, I cannot stand before you and say that God condones that. He doesn't. Because in God, there is no darkness whatsoever. There is no darkness whatsoever. So we have to be careful, where are we taking this anointing that God has placed on my life? Amen. Now, I'm just going to use Minister Dominique for example. This is not Minister Dominique. I'm just going to use him for an example. But Minister Dominique is seeking to write these songs that the Holy Ghost is giving him. He's not going to get those songs sitting up in the club. He's not. Because the Lord says, I have no part to do with that. Amen. Now, yes, did Jesus minister to each and every one? Yes, he did. But they came to him. He stepped into a place, and the people were drawn to his spirit. Amen. Now, he may be outside the club and saying, listen, I have an alternative, but you don't have to be up in that thing, taking part of that, because we know what God has delivered us from. We hear a song from the 70s and 80s, our body starts moving, and we start rocking again, and then we start remembering that certain boyfriend or that girlfriend, and we start, you know, our minds just start going back down that rabbit trail where it shouldn't be going, and then our flesh, if we single, gets all stirred up and hot and stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And listen, young people, you need to know. You need to know. This is one of the tactics of the enemy. He's trying to snare our young people, and he does it through music, because all they hear is the beat. They don't even hear the words. Amen. They just hear the beat of the music. And then they start thinking and wondering and questioning and getting so curious. Amen. But the Lord is saying, wait a minute. And that's why we as parents, God has set before us an open door of prayer, that we need to stand in the gap for these young people, because that's who the enemy is after. Because they are our future. Until the Lord comes back, we've got to make sure that we're raising them up and the fear of the Lord. And we don't have to compromise. We don't have to compromise our stance. At Easter time, there is no Easter bunny. There is not. Amen? I mean, we teach our children all of these fictional characters. And then what are we going to do when they say, well, prove to me that Jesus is real? Then we're going to really have to be in our prayer closet, for the Lord had to tear down all this bondage that they've gotten caught up in. If we just stick to the word of God, Christmas is about Jesus. The enemy wants to mock or mimic everything that God does. So how many churches do you think is going to be having something in lieu of Halloween instead of being at the altar? And then we wonder why we're having these nightmares, all these crazy dreams, and what's going on with my children? What have we exposed them to? What have we exposed them to just to make them feel comfortable and to make them feel like they fit? You don't fit. So we teach them that to begin with. You do not fit. You're not supposed to. God has called you from the time that your mother's carried you. He's called you with a purpose. He's called you with a purpose. Your identity is in him. The world does not define you. The world does not define you. Negative names that guys call girls, that is not who you are. Amen? God is saying, I've set before you an open door, but we've got to walk through it. We have to be bold enough to say, we're going to come against tradition and stop doing things because the world expects us to do it this way. And the sad part about it is that it's happening in the church. We are compromising our standard of holiness to make people feel comfortable. We want them to come in. We want to love on them, but we have to give them the word of God. And the Lord says, I've called you to be kings and priests. And how do kings and priests act? They walk uprightly. They honor authority. Amen? And that's what we need to teach our young people today. But the Lord told the church of Philadelphia, let me get back. The Lord told the church of Philadelphia, I have set before you an open door. God has set before you an open door, but you have a choice whether you're going to walk through it or not. Amen? You have a choice whether you're going to walk through it or not. But stop compromising. The church of Philadelphia did not compromise. The Church of Philadelphia, they remained faithful to God in the midst of every season, every storm, whatever came their way, they remained faithful. And because of their faithfulness, God says, I'm going to open up a door before you that no man can close. Regardless, they can talk about you. As you're walking through the door, keep on talking, because I'm going to keep on walking. Because God has set before me this door, and I'm going to walk through it. Well, it doesn't take all of that. Yes, it does for me. It may not for you, but it does for me. Amen? God says, I've set before you an open door. Are you going to be bold enough to walk through it? Amen? And that's what he's telling the Church of Philadelphia, and that's what he's saying to us. And Jesus wanted them to see that they had this open door. And how many of us, God sets an open door of evangelistic opportunity in front of us, but we don't see it. We don't see it. We can meet someone and we can see someone, even in a restaurant. And we can see that you can, if you're just being obedient and being discerning of the Holy Spirit, you can see that someone is hurting. But are you bold enough to go to that person and tell them, God loves you? Jesus is here for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. I don't know what you're going through, but God is able. But God sets this evangelistic opportunity before us, and we don't even take advantage of it. We're just going about our life. The hurting are all around us, and we're just all about our world. And the Holy Ghost is just nudging us. And you know when the Holy Ghost is nudging you to do something. You know it. And you fight against it. God is at you. Send me a sign. And God is like, uh-uh. You should know me by name. So how many of you are familiar with how the Holy Ghost moves in your life? The Church of Philadelphia knew. They were obedient. They were faithful. They had a listening ear. But we listen to everything else. We go to the different sources to get the help that we need when everything that we need is in the Word of God. Any problem that you're facing today, from the youngest to the oldest, if you go into prayer, God will give it to you. But you've got to get there. Amen? I mean, you've got to, because you think about it. I mean, I'm already planning for Black Friday. It's September. Okay? I'm already planning for it. I'm getting my strategy in place, right? I'm going to see how many I can pull in and help me get the things that I want to try to get, all right? But how many of us strategize spiritually? How many of us strategize spiritually? That, you know what, Lord, I'm going to take off this pride and I'm going to let Sister Keisha know, listen, this is the area that I'm struggling in right now. Amen? That this is my struggle, that when I get up on Saturday morning, I completely forget about the prayer tent. I'm just laying in bed, just chilling, knowing that I have a place that I'm supposed to be. Amen. So then it's like, okay, help remind me. So then I set the reminder in my phone. How many of us are setting ourselves up spiritually? I even have a prayer app that reminds me to pray. I can put my prayer request in it, and at different minutes of the day, it dings. It's like, okay, it's time to pray. We strategize for everything else. We want to save money. We want to get out of debt. But we need to strategize spiritually. Now, God, you know what this day is going to hold for me. And that's what we say every day. So before I get into the shower, have my cup of coffee, God, I need to seek your face. And I need to ask for the grace that I need for this day. And Brandon is nodding his head because he knows I have drilled this into them. Amen. Because when they come to me and they ask me something, the first time I ask them, did you pray? And if they didn't, go pray first, then come back and talk to me. Because if they go and pray, they don't need to come and talk to me about it. It's like, okay, I got the direction that I need. Okay, now I understand. Praise God. Because that's the job of the Holy Spirit. And so often our children want us to be their Holy Spirit. We can't do that. You've got to learn to seek God for yourself. Amen? To press into his presence, just like you press into fantasy football. For those that's all caught up into that. And it's nothing wrong with it, but nothing should take precedence over God. Nothing should take precedence over spending time in his presence. Amen? And I told you before, you know, Wednesdays is Bible study. And, you know, I used to work myself to the bone at the job, so by the time it was time for Bible study, just downright exhausted. So I said, Lord, what I'm going to have to do, either you need to give me an extra dose of strength, I'm going to have to cut back just a little bit on Wednesdays because I'm not going to give the job more than I give God. Amen? And I know that the Word of God says that whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. But God, I want to bring you my best. when I enter into your house that day. Amen. I'm not going to cheat the job. What I'm supposed to do, I'm going to do. But Lord God, I'm going to save my energy for the things that pertain to you. Because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you've got to put the time in. God is saying, I've set before you this open door. An open door of prayer, of fellowship, of communion. But will you walk through it? So many people say, I'm lonely. But God says, I'm a very present help. I'm there with you. You don't have to be lonely because I'm there. And then if we stretch out of our comfort zones, reach out to someone and say, listen, I need somebody to hang out with tonight. Are you available? But our pride keeps us in that place of loneliness at times. God, that's what the church is about, community. It's about community. Amen. We should be able to be helpers one to another. Not just, and we're still going to have our love session afterwards because normally we know we greet, but the Lord had us to, wanted us to have a worship experience this morning. But the church is about community. That if I need you, I can call on you. If you need me, call me. You all know I never turn my phone off. It's connected to my Fitbit. So even if you text me, I get a little, I'll get something. Amen. So I'm available. Amen. Because that's what community is about. And that's what the Holy Ghost came. He came to build community. That we be helpers one to the other. To love one another. To serve one another. Serve and submission has become bad words in the body of Christ. But the Lord says you can't. The devil is not going to flee from you until you submit to God first. And we want to use that scripture, but we don't want to submit. And the Lord says submission comes first. We have to submit to God, and then the devil will flee from you. Amen? So he set before us an open door. What is hindering your spiritual eyesight today? What is hindering your spiritual eyesight today? No one can shut it means unhindered openness. There is nothing that can keep you from accessing this door. But you've got to be able to see spiritually that it's open. So you have to ask yourself today, what is hindering my spiritual eyesight? What am I so focused on that I'm missing the move of God? That God is moving in my life. He's opening up doors for me. He's giving me opportunities, and I'm missing it because my spiritual eyesight is blocked. What is blocking it? What are you so focused on that you're missing what God has in store for you? That's what you have to ask yourself. God, what am I so focused on that I'm missing a move of your spirit at this time and this season in my life? Is it the job? Is it the children? Is it your spouse? God, help me to get my focus back on you. We ask for peace. The Lord says, I will bless you with perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. That's what the word says. So if somebody says, I need peace in my life, what are you looking at? Who are you looking at? You should be focused on God because God says if you keep your mind stayed on me, then I'm going to keep you in perfect peace. That in the midst of all the chaos and the turmoil and the trouble around you, regardless of what's going on in your life, God says if you keep your focus on me, I will keep you in peace. Amen? Amen. The church in Philadelphia was faithful to Jesus and his word. They expressed their allegiance. And they lived in a way that was faithful to the name and character of Jesus. And too often today, people are saying that they love God, that they're his children, and their behavior and their lifestyle is totally opposite. God is saying, okay, wait a minute. You say that you're my child. You say that you believe me. What is this that I'm seeing? What is this music that I'm hearing coming out of your house today? What is this that I'm seeing playing on your television? Because see, I don't see what's going on in your life. But God does. So what are you partaking of? What kind of diet do you have during the course of the week? What are you doing? Where are you investing your time? Whose table are you eating at? Because the Lord says that I prepare a table before you. The Lord says, and if I knock, you open the door, I will come in and we'll sup together. Is the Lord welcome at your table? Is the Lord welcome at your table? Or are you so busy and wrapped up in your life, God has no space? When is the last time that you went on a date with the Lord? That you set the table before him, that you've set that secret place for him and say, God, this is your time. Come in. The Spirit does come in and have your way in my house. When is the last time that you've had that type of date? And that's what we need to ask ourselves. Amen. And the Lord, with God, there's no shortage of open doors. You're the only one that can hinder you from getting what God has for you. You're the only one. You can't blame it on your mama, your daddy, your background, anything else. It's you. The Lord says either you're going to choose this way or you're going to choose your past. You can either live here with me now or you can live in your past and miss what I have for you. Because we get so caught up in the way we were brought up and our upbringing and the hurts that we've been through, amen, that we miss the open doors that God has set for us. Even as a church body, we could have just stayed in that place of grief. And are we still grieving apostles passing? Yes, we are every day. But we can either stay in that place or we can keep moving forward. That his legacy will continue. That the teaching that God gave us through him, that is still coming to pass even now. That we have that faith to believe God for the impossible. That we believe God is still a miracle working God. Because we sing these songs, we get caught up in the emotion. But what happens when the song stops playing? Can you still hear it playing and resonating in your spirit, man? Amen? But there's no shortage of open doors. The Church of Philadelphia was small, but they were doing all they could for the Lord. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. We're doing all that we can for God. Some may say, why should I press out the Bible study? Because, guys, honestly, sometimes it's, what, seven of us here? And like I said, I know that, you know, it's some that work, they can't come. But what you can do, do it. That's what the Church of Philadelphia did. They pressed. They pressed out. Okay, yes, I really don't want to be doing this right now, but Bible study, guys, honest, it's 1 hour. We come in here, we have prayer, and the latest we try to get you out is by 8:15. Because we know kids are in school, you have to go to work. But can we not give God 1 hour? Can we not give God 1 hour? I mean, what is so important in our lives that we can't do this for God? Now, you're not doing it for me. And I mean, Apostle D used to tell me, he says, you're not coming to church for me. Because I could see him when I go home. I came to be fed. I came to see how God was going to use him that day. That's what drew me in. I wanted to hear what the Lord had given him. Amen. And he would give me a little snatch, but it's like, I need to hear I want the full plate of it. Amen. And that's what I would press through. He was my husband. I loved him. I could have been at home with him. I was at home with him all the time. But what drew me into the house of the Lord was because I knew that he was an anointed servant of God. And I wanted to see, God, how are you going to use him today? Amen? And God is saying, all I'm asking for is 1 hour. That's it. And just like I'm strategizing for Black Friday, I need to strategize my life for what I want to do for God and what I want, the time that I want to spend and invest in him. Amen? I was able to go and be at a church this morning. Found out about a speaker was there. I was like, let me hurry up and get dressed. And that's where I was at. That's why I missed Life Enrichment. But the deposit that I received today, priceless. Priceless. It's like, God, I thank you, but you have to. God says, I've set before you this door. Now, are you going to walk through it? You may stand to your feet. God has set before us an open door. And sometimes we'll tell the Lord, God, I can't go to that service because you know I need to get ready for work tomorrow. You know I have things I need to do. You stay at home, you don't come, and you still don't do what you was planning on doing. So, Lord, if I'm going to do that, I might as well press into you. Amen. And I was there a couple weeks ago before the first day of school. I had an opportunity to be in a service. And I kept, you know, I was like, oh, man, I need to, you know, the first day of school is tomorrow. I need to get myself situated. And the Holy Ghost kept nudging me. You know what you need to be doing. Because if I stayed home, I was going to do it anyway. So I was like, I might as well go invest my time. Amen. And the things that you're investing in, what is the return? The things that you're investing in, what is your return on that investment? Okay, I won't go to church because I want to go. They're having this special at this restaurant, and I need to be there. And we go and we eat that meal, and then that meal is gone. And it's just satisfied us for that moment. And then guess what? We're still hungry. Because we're trying to fill our spiritual appetites with things of the world, and it doesn't fit. It doesn't fill us. It's only by being in the presence of God. Only God's presence can satisfy this hunger and this thirst in our soul. Amen. But are you willing to invest that time? That, Lord, I'm going to get up 15 minutes before my normal time because I want to be in your presence. Because I want to seek your face. Because I want to talk to you, Lord. God, I know you already know what I have made up, but I just want to spend time with you. I mean, you think about it. When you met your spouse, there was no such thing as time. I know it wasn't for me and Pastor. 2 o'clock in the morning, we're still talking and spending time with one another. And now it's like if the Lord tells us to get up at 10 o'clock to pray, we screaming and kicking and fussing. But how do you get to know someone? You spend time with them. How do you get to know the Holy Spirit? When Jesus, after Jesus was baptized and the Lord says, this is my son, beloved son in whom I am well pleased, then the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Because the Holy Spirit knew what was coming. Amen. So the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for Jesus to spend time with the Holy Spirit so that when the enemy came, he had something to fight with. He had something to fight with. So that when the enemy came knocking, he knew how to answer. He wasn't in a place where he could be deceived. We put ourselves in a place that the enemy takes advantage of us. He takes advantage of our ignorance just because we have not spent time in the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this house today, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, the seeds that have been planted today, Lord God, Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus that they take root, Father. The Lord God, that we as your children will be sober and be vigilant, oh God, to guard that you have given us, oh God, that no man takes our crown, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost this day, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you order our steps, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that when we were in our mess, oh God, you sent Jesus to die for us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we will not give your love the attention that you are worthy of to no one else. We will not give our devotion to no one else but you, oh God. Father God, we will honor you with our lips. We will honor you in our hearts, oh God, with our very being, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. God, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this house this day. And Father God, as we go, Father God, we go with a praise in our heart, oh God, that will proceed out of our mouth, Father. We will testify to others just how good and how great you are. That we serve an awesome God, that we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, oh God. Father God, we thank you. Thank you that you're the God of all comfort. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.